And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, you got any idea what the strategy of the National Democratic Party leadership is in terms of the current upcoming election? Because to be honest with you, I can't figure it out.
I'm not sure either. I think that their strategy has been woefully inadequate, if at all, really since Howard Dean left in after the 2008 election. They wallowed. They got killed in 2010 because they just let everything, as you pointed out last week, let everything go. They made they lost the 2016 election. They made a recovery in 2018, barely held on in 2020, and they don't seem to have connected with what should be their natural base. They've thought that they, that their demographics were their destiny, that the large influx and increase in Latino population would be helpful to them. And they found out that in places like Florida, that isn't true. And even in Texas, certain places, that isn't true. And I could think of no more startling statistic than what I saw this week, where in 2018, the Democrats were plus 47%. In other words, they had a 47% advantage over the Republicans with Hispanics. And in the latest poll, the Democrats and Republicans are tied in generic polls among Hispanics. I mean, how do you let that happen? That's one thing. And then, of course, with the young people, they haven't.
In other words, the Democrats had 73% support and the Republicans had 26% support. And now it's 50-50.
Now it's 50-50.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And, of course, they're getting and this is part of the problem when you represent a broad coalition as opposed to the Republicans, who have a much tighter, narrower coalition, very much narrower coalition. But they're getting pulled from the left to take more and more positions regarding things that the working class just don't find either important or fitting their lifestyle. And they don't seem to be able then to win on those economic issues that are winners for the middle class. It's really something. I did something this week.
You really think that they're making a class analysis? I don't.
Well, I think they're making a class analysis, but they don't understand the class. But it goes back to Thomas Frank again. You know, what's the matter with Kansas? They don't understand what people really what people's priorities are.
Well, but you have a peculiarity if you make that argument, because Bernie Sanders, when he ran for president, managed to get and attract a huge working class vote. And many people who voted for Trump in Pennsylvania voted for Sanders if they were Democrats and voted in the primary. He was able to figure it out. So he was criticized by the centrist Democrats by saying, well, he doesn't understand how to talk to blacks. He doesn't understand the importance of national identity. But you're making just the opposite argument, that you got to emphasize national identity more. I mean, Sanders apparently was able to do what you're saying only the Republicans are able to do. I don't believe the Republicans are able to do it at all in the face of a Sanders-type attack. And I don't think that the average Democratic Party guy is doing what you're saying the left is trying to get him to do. I don't think the left is. I don't think there is a left in the Democratic Party outside of the Sanders types. And that they're not doing what they're accused of saying. They, you know, the people are pointing to the Black Lives Matter slogan, defund the police, as if that is the left-wing agenda in the Democratic Party. It's the agenda of the nationalist group within the Democratic Party, but not necessarily the left.
There are other things, you know, like the use of the term Latinx, you know, where virtually none of the Latino community identifies with that.
Yeah, but who uses that term? It's a small section. I mean, it's people who don't make a distinction between the different types of classes there are in the Latino community, the different countries they come from, the different political traditions they came from. I mean, let's face it, fascist-minded Cubans who came here 50 years ago are not the same thing as Mexican workers or Guatemalan exiles or Honduran exiles running away from the oppression, the imprisonment of women for having miscarriages, which is what happens in Honduras, or the fact that there's no work anywhere in Central America. That's a different type of person than the former Cuban, middle class person who lives in Florida.
And you have the people that are like in Texas who are here who said we came legally. We follow the rules, and all these people want to rush across the border.
That's right. That's exactly right. There are such people, and those people are different than the people who came across the border. They have a different policy. You can't lump them all together, which the Biden-type Democratic leadership does. Big mistake.
That's why they've lost a 47% lead.
Yeah, and then you come into this weird situation. The Democratic Party can't escape being tarnished by Manchin when Manchin stands up and opposes everything. I mean, Manchin, you can make the case, is a world-class criminal. I mean, if you oppose fighting the climate crisis, and you support fossil fuel industry expansion, I don't care what your argument is. If that's what you're doing, you're threatening the life of humanity. And that's what Manchin is doing.
You know, right now, when we see what's happening in the country and in the world, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Great Salt Lake has lost 2/3 of its volume and is threatening all sorts of environmental catastrophes in the state of Utah, including the spreading of dangerous materials that were in the bed of the lake that are now exposed. We see what's happening over in Lake Mead behind Hoover Dam there, which means there's not going to be enough electricity to power the Southwest. We've got my son over in England, where the heat wave is threatening to be the hottest on record.
You're talking about 101, 102, 103 degrees that are forecast for this coming week in England.
In a country that doesn't have air conditioning except in commercial establishments. And it's even going to be just as bad on the continent. You just can't get around this. And Joe Manchin using every excuse in the book.
And his current argument is we got to see what the inflation numbers are. What's the difference what the inflation numbers are? If you're dead, it doesn't matter what inflation is.
What, of course, has happened is the transitioning from fossil fuels just hasn't occurred quick enough to meet the crunch that occurred post the pandemic and also the invasion of Russia of Ukraine, which has caused all sorts of problems.
The key thing, it seems to me, that pollsters discovered in the last week was that young people, that is to say people from the ages of 18 to 30, people who are eligible to vote, young people under 30, Biden has less than 1% support. Now, for the Democrats, that's a crisis equivalent, I think, to the climate crisis for humanity.
And one thing that the, you know, when they're young, they're more idealistic.
Who should be idealistic except people who have a life ahead of them?
Right. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I was on a Zoom meeting this week. I happened to join. There's part you get for free, and then there's a subscription. And I finally paid a subscription to Ruth Ben-Ghiat's.
Jesus, you've been promoting her for 2 years. It's about time you ponied up something.
Yeah, it's about time. And every Friday, she has an open discussion and Q&A period. And so I joined it Friday. I joined it Friday, and I went on. And I was listening to people. And, you get this feeling that idealism is wonderful, but at some point you let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, or people said, well, Biden can't get it, these things I want done, so I'm just going to sit things out. And other people are saying, well, I think I'm preparing, thinking about leaving the country. And so I was thinking about it, and I raised my hand, on the Zoom meeting, and she actually called on me, and I told her I might not be so popular, but I said, you've got to consider what you're leaving behind, or what the alternatives you're willing to cede to the Republicans. I said, we talk a lot about authoritarianism, and the two greatest authoritarians that we've ever seen, the worst ones were Hitler and Stalin. But after June of 1941, we decided that as much as we loathed Stalin, it was better to have him with us than let him be on his own and let us be on our own. You've got to understand what the greater threat is. And Trumpism is still the greater threat to everything. I said, if you want to leave the country and cede it to the Republicans, what are you going to get? Who's going to lead the world? Canada's not going to lead the world on a great crusade against things. Neither is Australia or what have you, and certainly not England now. Boris is a mess. So
he's gone. Boris is gone.
I know, but the message.
Anyway, Boris was a kind of a Trumpian guy. He was quite as competent as Trump.
But the mess that he's left behind, and I don't know what's going to, Tories haven't picked a new leader yet. And we have to see whether or not Labor is capable of putting together enough of a coalition or recapturing all those people that they lost.
But the British system is weird because Labour won't have a chance to do anything like that for another 3 years. The election for Prime Minister is only within the Tory party.
Right.
And their candidates start horrible and go down from there. In any case, we're not talking about British politics.
Well, you started talking, right now the GOP in America is sort of the same thing, right?
No, I understand that. It's right. But you know what's wrong is that in this situation, and especially in terms of what you're saying, what are the Democrats doing? Where is the political leadership that the leadership of the Democratic Party is exerting? Their strategy seems to be, we'll pass something in Congress, it'll be wonderful, or it'll at least be good, or at least be something, and that will get people to vote for us. And that is not a winning strategy.
No.
But that's all they're doing. Biden, at the very least, should be yelling and screaming, all right, Manchin made this point. He should say, Manchin's a Republican. This is a Republican position. I disavow it. This is what we need. Here's my weakness. Manchin, Sinema, you want progress, you got to give me four more senators.
That's exactly right.
But he's not doing that. He doesn't do that.
I made that point before. Joe Manchin's with us on certain things, but it's not sufficient. We've got to make sure that we get more votes.
Yeah, you got to draw a line between Manchin, who claims to be a Democrat, and the rest of the Democrats. Or else, why would any of these young people or anybody really say, "All right, I'll go for the Democrats"?
Right.
You may say, "Well, it's because they're better than Trump," and they may say, "How? Where? Show me." And you have since their strategy, the Democratic strategy, is we're going to do something, and they can't do it. You can't show them.
And that's the thing. You know, it wouldn't need Manchin if you still had the old style Republicans where you could get a few votes from them or what have you. But
you wouldn't need Manchin if you had Fetterman in the Senate. You wouldn't need Manchin if you had Ryan in the Senate.
Right.
In place of the two Republicans who are there now, and then Manchin doesn't matter.
And if they're able to hold the other seats.
Yeah, and if they're able to hold the other seats. But whatever the situation is, it is a national strategy. It is not a local strategy. It's nonsense about politics as local is goofy. Politics is local only at the tactical level. It's not local at the strategic level, and that's what we're talking about. And the Republicans are a disciplined national group. That's what you're fighting. But the Democrats, they're fighting, they're fighting a musket war against atomic weapons.
Well, that's part of the appeal. Peter Wehner wrote an article in The Atlantic, and he's written a book about why people are sticking with Trump and Trumpism and all of that. And it also gets back to the title of Ruth Ben-Ghiat's book, Strongmen. They perceive the Republicans as being stronger. They may not always like what the Republicans are doing, but they like the way the Republicans do things.
Right.
He mentions that, you know, you don't bring a pop gun to a fight with automatic rifles, you know.
Everything counts. You know, you got to show the flag. You take my rural county. In my rural county, the Republican registered voters are twice as many as the Democratic registered, even more than twice as many.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? 30%, 35%, which is what the Democrats have here in terms of registered votes, that's not a tiny group. That's a big group. You may be outnumbered by a lot, but it's a big group. You got to show the flag. Otherwise, your own side gets demoralized, and you may have 30% of the vote, and you discover 10% actually come out to vote. The Republicans, they got their lawn signs everywhere. They got flags that's been flying for years. The Democrats can't even produce a sign, let alone get somebody to put it up on the lawn. You got to show you got fighting spirit. You got to actually have fighting spirit. There's no mechanism in the local Democratic Party, and it's true also in Lackawanna County, to have political discussions. There's no place where our Democratic Party has four standing committees. They're all organizational. There's not one that's strategic or political. If you want to talk about, well, what should we do in our county? What should be the right social policy in our country or in our state? There's no mechanism within the Democratic Party for having that discussion.
Yeah. In Lackawanna County, it's all about who gets what job.
Yeah. And plus, they have no office. They have no place to meet. They have no place to go. It's all up in the air. It's as alienated from the average man and woman as you can possibly imagine. Why should they relate to that? They don't.
They don't. They don't. You know, you talk about things.
Maybe that's the good news, you know?
Maybe that's the good news, which is why now in most places, even that the biggest growing party is independent or not affiliated. Nobody wants part of either of the parties.
Well, frankly, if you belong to the Democratic Party, you might as well be unaffiliated. If there's no place to discuss politics, and if they don't run candidates for most of the offices that are run, and they have, as in my county, they have no ideas for, you know, what should the township governments do? How could... my words are failing because it's so annoying. But if all politics is local, where's the local policy? There is none. We're what, 2 months away from the beginning of voting? In some of the counties, you can start to vote in 50 days from now. Well, where's the structure? Where is the organizational campaign structure in the counties? I don't see them. I don't see them at all.
I've been contacted by some individuals who are trying to do things. But that just shows that there's nothing from the party.
Exactly. Precisely.
These are people who identify as Democrats. They want to do something. And, of course, we got one text, and I made a phone call in response to it, never heard anything back.
You got a text. I asked our local leadership here, Democratic Party leadership here, are you going to be sending out text. They said, well, we don't have any cell phone numbers. We don't have them. I said, are you going to send out any email messages? We don't have any email addresses. I said, how come we don't have them? We can't get them. Why didn't you ask the party for them? They don't have them. We have a mailing list, snail mail.
Yeah.
You know what it costs to send a letter by snail mail? $1.15. Every letter. If you, you know, it's ridiculous. And that list comes from the state. It comes from the election office. It doesn't come from the Democratic Party. Functionally, the Democratic Party doesn't have anything. Meanwhile, various campaigns have all of this. Does the Fetterman campaign have this? I get 10 things from Fetterman a day. I never signed up for Fetterman ever.
I get a lot of that, too.
Yeah, so where'd they get my name? So obviously, you can get it.
Yeah, and I understand that they are coordinating with the Shapiro campaign as well.
They may well be, but that doesn't help the local parties. That doesn't help the local parties.
No. No. And it's sort of self-fulfilling because they know that there is nothing at the local parties, so they have to work outside the local parties. And by working outside the local parties, they don't help the local parties. So the local parties can't help them.
I don't know if you remember that some years ago when Wolf was running for governor, you and I saw Wolf, and I
yes.
asked him at that time, what are you going to do? He wasn't yet the governor. What are you going to do, or are you going to do you have a plan for reinvigorating the state, the Democratic Party? And he looked at me puzzled, and he said, I'm running for governor.
Right. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're running for governor. What I mean, and it's interesting because in the structure of the Democratic Party, and this is true, I think, of the Republican Party as well, the offices of the party don't include the elected people. So when everyday life goes on and you talk about the Democratic Party, all you talk about are the people who are elected officials. But in the structure and the organizational life of the Democratic Party, they don't play any role. They don't even belong to the committees. If they come to the meetings, it's as a favor. That's peculiar, no? You have a political organization that has no place to discuss politics, and where the which is dedicated to only electing people, and once they get elected, they have no responsibility to the party, and the party has no influence over them. What's the point of the party? That's ridiculous. If you sat down to design it, would you design that?
No. That's no design.
That's no design, right.
You don't have to, you know, what have you. You know, and there's so many other things that are happening that really need addressing and are worrisome. You just...
Yeah, because, you know, you got Bannon and his revelations recorded even that the Republicans and the right wings... the Trump people among the Republicans, they got a national strategy for making sure they never lose power, right?
Right.
He pointed out that you may feel that Trump is dopey, but Trump had a plan to make sure that no matter what the vote was, he stayed president. Wasn't a good plan.
It
might not be legal. It might not. He may not have organized what he needed to organize, but he knew what he could do. He didn't do it, but he could have done it, right?
Yeah, came close.
And they boast about it. And guess what? They're organizing it today, right in front of our noses.
Yeah, and people are attracted to it because it shows strength. It shows
strength.
Purpose.
Right, right. I went once to some event that some religious group organized, and I met one of the officials of that religious group. Mm-hmm. He turned out to be a recent immigrant to America. And he was a Trump guy. I said, why do you like Trump? He's a strong man. He's a strong man. That's what he liked, a strong man.
These people flee countries with strong men, and yeah. then they come here and they try to...
That's what they support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they know.
But, you know, you would think that that's what they know is bad, but they don't identify that as bad.
Yeah.
As far as I understand theology, Satan is pretty strong, right?
Yeah. But, there are a lot of people that are willing to tolerate a lot of things which they see harming other people and not themselves.
Right. That's right.
And of course, and that's become the bottom line with Trumpism, that no matter how much they find wrong with Trump, at least they're sticking it to the libs or sticking it to the other side. And that gives them enough of a justification and an excuse. Again, it's priorities. It's priorities. Never realizing that this could rebound to them.
As it always does if they don't happen to be in the 1%.
Right.
As it always does.
Right. As they realize often way too late.
Yeah, way too late. That's exactly right. And you and I were alive. Fortunately, we weren't there. But we saw that those people who collaborated with the Nazis, they ended up went to the concentration camps just as soon as they were not useful to the Nazis. They had no way to stop it. It was too late for them to say, but I helped you get the other guys. Yeah. Right, you did. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah. Now, they're sticking it to the gays. They're sticking it to the trans. They're sticking it to the socialists.
Yeah.
You know, Reverend Niemöller, please come back.
Yeah.
You know, and educate these people that when they get to you.
I don't think they can be educated. I think they have to be overcome. You just have to ignore them. There's a world of young people out there to win. And if 99% of them say, I can't support these people, these Democratic leaders, you got to pay attention to that because that's the future. That's the future. That's how you got to work. That's who you got to work with. You got to pay attention to what they say, that there's a bunch of crazy clerical-minded and clerical people who are pursuing some kind of inhuman, anti-human ideological agenda. They're out there. How are you going to beat them? Only by getting young people not to follow them.
That's libertarians.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfeeling.
Yeah. Totally selfish, thinking that being totally selfish is good because they've been convinced by the Margaret Thatcher types that there's no such thing as society. There's just individuals. You can't be an individual if you're a human being outside of society. It's biologically impossible. You can only be an individual human within human society. That's how it works. That's just how humanity evolved. You don't like it? Become a mollusk.
Well, Hillary Clinton tried that with It Takes a Village.
Yeah, but that one slogan didn't compensate for the fact that her policies and her husband's policies really were a body slam against working people when they were in power and privileged meritocracy and the college educated. Nobody can forget that, and nobody has forgotten that. And if you have forgotten it, Trump will remind you of it. Anyway, that's it for this week.
All right. I don't know if there's another hearing coming up this week or not.
I don't either. It really depends on more blabbermouthing by more Republicans, which is apparently happening.
Yep. And we may be in the summer doldrums, but things certainly aren't.
Summer doldrums is going to get hot.
It's going to get hot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.